Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Last week, the Miami Herald and El Nuevo Herald announced their intent to unionize. One Herald Guild, if recognized by McClatchy, would become the largest joint newsroom in South Florida to unionize. Now, the move comes as a number of newspapers across the country have moved towards unionizing, with commercial operations continuing to cut staff and resources. We're joined now by Mary Ellen Claw. She's the Capital Bureau Chief of the Miami Herald and the Co-Bureau Chief of the Tampa Bay Times Miami Herald Tallahassee Bureau. Mary Ellen Claw, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
So when did the folks at the Miami Herald and El Nuevo Herald start talking about the idea of forming a union?
Well, the origin of this began when we had the surprising and unexpected announcement earlier this year that there would be, hundreds of employees in McClatchy offered a buyout. And those people were obviously people like me who were older veteran employees, and in many cases were sort of, we contribute to the fiber of the newsroom, the backbone of the newsroom. And there were many younger employees who were startled, surprised, and discouraged by this development. And so folks started to talk and say, we really need to get organized. And that's what started this.
What can you tell me about those conversations? Because I know not all staffers are on board with the idea. But I mean, how did that go? People, again, started to build up on this idea, and then you had to have enough support to do it.
Well, it wasn't something done in isolation. What people did is they started reporting it out. They did their homework. They started looking up what other unions did. It started interviewing members of various union organizations and trying to get a sense of what it involved. And then they actually did job interviews with trying to decide who to pick to be their representative. Then once that started, then it was a matter of, well, do we really want to go ahead with it? So that involved conversations with everyone in the newsroom. And it was mostly done through one-on-one and actually listening to people. What are the issues you care about? What is going well for you? What would you like to change? And that evolved to become the basis of the things that we have identified as why we're doing this. It's really been organic.
When you announce the union, and it's like a lot of situations like this, it's about better pay, benefits, resources, security. Let's take a look at McClatchy, the company that owns the Miami Herald. On a corporate level, in 2017, the company reports a loss of about $332 million. In 2018, that was approximately a $79 million loss. If the company's reporting these kind of losses, where is it going to find the money to be able to give employees the sort of things that they're looking for?
Well, that's where I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding here. It is not all about the money. It is about how they manage their existing resources and the priorities they're making with them. There's been a little bit of attention paid to the fact that the CEO of McClatchy is Craig Foreman, and he's got an increase in his salary
Makes $2.8 million now a year, and he's got a $35,000 per month stipend for housing and travel.
That's right. And the question for us is, let's have some transparency. Let's understand why they justify that and why that stipend that he gets on a monthly basis is more than some of our reporters are making. Why is that acceptable? And that is the kind of answers and pushback that we believe as employees who are devoting and making sacrifices and we are dedicated to this job. We expect that we are deserving of answers to the decisions they're making.
How many other McClatchy papers have also gone down this path?
Well, there haven't been any in recent history. The Sacramento Bee papers, the Bee papers in California, which are owned by McClatchy and were the very first papers that McClatchy owned have all been unionized, but there hasn't been any in the recent history. So McClatchy has dealt with union papers in the past. It knows what's involved. So this is not a big surprise.
Well, McClatchy representatives obviously did not want to join us for the program today. We did get a statement from Amanda Marquez Gonzalez, president and publisher of the Miami Herald Company. I'm going to read part of it because it is a long statement. We're going to post it in its entirety online. But this is just part of what that statement read. Quote, "While there are certainly difficult macro trends that are affecting all local news organizations, we are committed to partnering with our employees directly and working through them. We don't believe that introducing a third-party intermediary helps our relationships, generates efficiency, or allows us to adapt and innovate in response to these trends and market conditions. We also don't think our employees need to pay significant dues to a third party, the union, to help address concerns that we can resolve directly with them. Finally, contrary to what the union is claiming, if elected, the union will negotiate with the Miami Herald Company, not McClatchy, our parent company." Again, the entire statement, because it is a long one, is online. What have been these conversations with McClatchy or with, you know, again, the head of Miami Herald Media Company about this unionization effort?
We haven't really had much of a conversation. We asked to be voluntarily recognized, and we gave Mindy and our CEO and the others at McClatchy a week to have conversations with us and talk about why we think they should recognize us right away. The idea behind that was that it would eliminate the need for expense both on their part to hire lawyers to negotiate and to fight our union effort, and that would save money. But they chose not to do that. We gave them a week because we thought it would be an opportunity to have that collaborative conversation that our editor has referred to often, but it didn't happen. So we are going to go ahead and within the next month, we will have a vote. And that will be something that will be overseen by the National Labor Relations Board. They negotiate the constructs of that election, and we will know by the end of the week the date of it and what the terms of the election will be. But I want to respond to the comment.
Go ahead.
Because one of the things we've seen is that all the arguments that Mindy has brought up and others against the union is really pretty much boilerplate. It comes from every anti-union effort in the newspaper business and in other industries as well. There isn't any real original thought here, and nothing that's really applied to the Miami Herald. This idea that we're introducing a third party into these negotiations, that's not it at all, because the union is us. So we are the union. We're just hiring an outside entity to be our consultants, to be our advisors, paying union dues. That argument is pretty old as well. But we have decided that we need some extra help because the opportunity to interact that we've had with McClatchy so far has not been working in our favor.
I'm talking with the Miami Herald's Mary Ellen Kloss. Employees with the Miami Herald and El Nuevo Herald have announced their intent to unionize. The publisher McClatchy has until this week to formally recognize the union. And we should note, WLRN is news partners with the Miami Herald. And you could read more reporting about this unionization effort at WLRN.org. Help me understand, too, the union is aligning itself. It's with the News Guild CWA. That's Communications Workers of America. That's correct?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. How can you point to, you know, tangible benefits that the union has been able to, that they've been able to obtain for its members?
Well, they've been able to negotiate a contract, and the contract then is a set of rules, and that will govern our relationship between how we work with our bosses in the future. We have a relationship right now. It's just that we feel as if other priorities have come ahead of our our needs as employees. And some of those priorities obviously have been when they decide they have to cut the budget and they have to blindside us with layoffs or hit us with another round of furloughs. They're imposing, you know, unexpected new rules on how we do our work and the kind of work and the kind of copy they want us to produce. So we're inviting some degree of structure, which that is a necessary component of having a union. And we think that that's not a bad idea. It's a really democratic way to handle it. We're going to vote on it, every contract and every piece of every contract. And then we sit down at the bargaining table and negotiate it with our bosses. And we think that's a really fair way to do it.
You know, we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, writers and reporters unionizing. We've seen newspapers, online forums as well. Like we've seen the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, the New Yorker, New York Magazine, the New Republic, Salon, Vice Media, HuffPo, and even in public radio, we just saw WHYY in Philadelphia also move in that direction. What do you see as the reason, you know, that the idea for unions now is growing in the news business?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it is, it has to do with the fact that the news business under more threat than it's ever been. I mean, even for robust news organizations and organizations that are growing, because of social media, the absence of or the dismantling of the traditional revenue source, which has been advertising, because of the other platforms that are much more efficient way to advertise, those things have led to a decrease in the same kind of job security. And we've found that it's been, you know, we've, for the last decade since the recession, we have so relied on this dismantling of the norms of what we used to do that we've kind of, that our bosses have kind of gotten used to hiring people on a piecemeal basis, hiring freelancers to do things that used to be full-time employees. And I think people are just kind of stopping and saying, we need to hit the reset button, rethink, is this really good for the kind of journalism we're doing? And let's get organized and maybe push back.
And one other thing, too, is coming back to something you said earlier is, I mean, look, not everybody's on board. And so I'm wondering, you know, if there's a concern that, you know, part of the newsroom might feel a little bit kind of pushed out because they don't want to go in this direction.
Absolutely not. And that is the one thing we are so determined at the Miami Herald to not let happen, because we get it that some people just don't feel comfortable and that they may have had a bad experience at a union somewhere else, just don't want to do this. But we are still going to be, they're still on our team, and we are still going to be arguing for their rights. In fact, we've watched in other news organizations, like at the LA Times, at the Miami Herald, the editors cannot organize because they're considered management. But if there were something to happen and they were treated unfairly, you can be sure that this union would come and have their back. We watched that happen at the LA Times. There was a very popular editor that was unceremoniously fired, and the union walked out and protested, and the editor got her job back. So we understand that people are not comfortable, but that doesn't mean we aren't trying to lift everybody up at once.
We've been talking with the Miami Herald's Mary Ellen Kloss. Again, you can learn more of the story about unionizing at the Miami Herald and El Nuevo Herald at WLRN.org. Mary Ellen, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Liz. Take care.
Well, still to come, turning an old lot into a resilient park. We're going to learn about a project that could protect the neighborhood from future flooding. That's up next.